host, the master brewer himself, the brew, Joshua Kunkel. Grab a cold one, kick back and relax, and enjoy the show. Cheers, everybody.
Son, a woman is a lot like, a refrigerator. They're about 6 feet tall, 300 pounds. They make ice and... Oh, wait a minute. Actually, a woman is more like a beer. They smell good. They look good. You'd step over your own mother just to get one. But you can't stop at one. You want to drink another woman.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Beer Dad and Brew Podcast. As always, I am your host, the Beer Dad himself, Justin Allen. And over here for a little while with his luscious locks, because he says he's cutting them off, the brood man, Joshua Kunkel.
Howdy, hell.
And we are joined here by our most awesome sponsor, Jimmy from the Craft Lounge. How the hell are you?
Not too bad. How you doing?
Good, good, good. And we have a returning guest here, Mr. Tons and Kettles, another home brewer, good friend of ours,
Brandon. What's happening? What's there happening?
And we are joined by a special guest. We've been talking about this episode for a very long time because, well, beer doesn't just happen overnight. So we have Gabe here from Monstera Brewing. Gabe, how you doing? Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us. So, well, all our listeners and everybody that's been following us knows that we did kind of a collaboration with Monstera Brewing, and we, Josh and I, brewed two separate batches of an Irish Red, one with your product and one without, and we're going to sample those here in a little bit and see what the difference is. But first, tell us a little bit about yourself. Gabe, tell us about your background, and then tell us about Monstera.
Yeah, for sure. So I've been in beer for... 6 years now, probably 5 or 6 years now. Started out in fermentation,
okay,
working with the yeast company, kind of supplier side. Been home brewing 10 years, gonna say.
Oh, very cool.
And really, Will came to me. We worked together in the past. He actually used to work for me, for the record. he came up with this really cool idea, basically custom water profiles. So the idea is, you know, beer styles evolved because of the ingredients and water, yep, and everything that you had in those areas. And these things grew out of necessity. And over time, of course, people started putting breweries near water sources so they could get the kind of water that they wanted in their beer. And now commercial space is at a premium, so you kind of put your brewery where you can. And we really wanted to make it easy for a home brewer or professional brewer to change their water profile for every single beer. So, you know, if you want to do a Goza with water from the Goza River, we can give you that. If you want to do an Irish Red with water from wherever, you know, you can customize every single product that you have. We just want to make water, the chemistry side of it, simple for you.
That's awesome.
Or as we were talking before the podcast here, you know, it's kind of your foundation, and it's kind of cool that you can just... You start correctly there, you know, and then just build from there.
Yeah, you can build that base.
Yeah,
and get vastly different fermentation, you know, profiles, flavor profiles, everything.
Oh yeah, and definitely when we do this, you know, side by side here, we're probably going to see that just night and day, as I've been saying, you know, all along.
Awesome. So, how do for people listening that are in the home brewing world, or for the breweries, we have a lot of breweries that listen to our show too. How do they, you know, get in contact with you guys?
Yeah. So you can check us out on Monstera.com is our website, MonsteraBrewing.com, my bad. Or, you know, email us sales@MonsteraBrewing. It's a great way to get in touch with us, or even hit us up on social media.
Monstera Brewing
on every popular platform.
They are on there. The Facebooks, the Instagrams.
Oh, yes.
Twitter. You guys on Twitter?
No.
No. Okay. I have a Twitter, but I don't use it very often because, yeah, I don't know. I still haven't figured it out yet.
I had to sign up for a class, but I don't think I've ever used it myself.
Like, I know is on Twitter, I did a tweet or
tweet. Careful, careful.
Were you making a tweet?
So it was one of those things where like an ad came up and it was for Farmer John hot dogs. And it was Taco Tuesday, and this is the most horrible thing I've ever seen in my life. They made hot dog tacos for Taco Tuesday, and they were like advertising like a serious thing, right? And so I tweeted, like I retweeted or whatever, put a comment.
Sounds and it amazing. Dope, hell yeah. Yeah,
it looked horrible. But I put on there, like, what in the actual meth is this basura?
Yeah.
And I tweeted that, and it's been retweeted like 1,000 times already. And I'm like, oh, I guess I can tweet. I don't know. Because I felt like obligated, even though I don't follow Farber John, it was just an ad on my feed. I felt obligated to say something because I'm like, this can't be real. You can't make tacos with hot dogs.
Dude, hot dog tacos, differ. Hot dog tacos are a delicacy.
I know, dude. No. I beg to differ, bro.
Yeah, man. I guess they're wrapped in bacon.
Yeah. Right along with
not even that. Dude, chop it up, cook it in a little bit of tomato sauce and onions.
In this picture, it's
a Mexican steak, dude.
Yeah, dude.
That is Mexican steak.
This was a whole hot dog rolled in the tortilla and grilled with guac and pico and lettuce on top.
I had that as a kid, dude. Honestly.
I made that. What you saw, that was my creation.
That was you? Okay.
I wish, actually.
Dude, I went to a restaurant in Hemet, and they had that, Mexican hot dogs, dude. And hot dog in a fucking tortilla with, like, stuff all over it. It was
bacon
great.
Leave it to Hemet.
Leave it to Hemet.
we're going to leave it
that's
that.
Crazy.
It was
Hemet, they typically stay away from, like, you know, solids. They like mushy foods, you know.
Well, it's a lack of teeth. It's a lack of teeth.
Exactly. That's what I was getting at.
Pretty much.
All those daywalkers on Florida.
Yeah. By the way, Gabe, since you're up here, if you want some entertainment, drive down Florida Avenue in Hemet, like, at any given time, and within minutes, you'll see
Justin running on the street.
Yeah, right. You'll see some questionable characters.
A giant diaper, dude.
The one thing is, we used to have hookers on Florida Avenue. They've got
Justin going down the street.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, you're definitely in for a treat on Florida Avenue. I don't know where these people come from, but yeah. It's good. Get your camera ready.
Yeah.
So
take pictures of the local wildlife.
Maybe I should start like we're at the 1200 tour guide service. Take them down. Be like, we'll start in Belmont. We'll have some drinks, and then we'll go on a tour.
Welcome to the IE.
Give you a tour of the armpit.
Exactly. Maybe we'll end up in Mentone at one point. I don't know.
Ooh.
Methone.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right. Well,
water.
Back to the Monster Brewing. So, Gabe, as far as the product goes, what have you used and what have you liked that you've brewed?
So I brewed the Gozlar profile a couple times, done a couple Gozas at home, just because it stands out so much, it's so characteristic.
Mm-hmm.
The Dublin profile is definitely one of my favorites. And then the Asheville works really, really well for a sour. Like the whole mineral profile in there just kind of brings that wild funkiness out.
Funky. Are we talking like maybe kettle sours or like traditional sours? Either one? Well. Okay.
I especially love it.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, wow. Yeah. 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 Letting it do its thing. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, anything like that, really just kind of brings it out. Those are my favorite ones. But we have so many water profiles that I'm never going to be able to brew with all of them. So there's just so many out there.
That's awesome. There's always the challenge. I mean, you can always try.
Well, I was curious, when you guys think about doing a profile, do you try to get like a collection of water from a source there and then just break it down by its minerals?
Ideally, that's what we want to do.
Okay.
Is we want to try to take the water, analyze it, really break it down. Then we can do a side-by-side comparison at the end, right?
Okay.
You'll compare what you're producing versus what you had to make sure it actually does match.
Yeah.
Because once in a while, you need some tweaking.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's been, you know, it, sometimes, you know, you just do it off the lab reports. If somebody's sending it to you, we'll get homebrewers. It's not uncommon to reach out to us and say, I was brewing a beer in my hometown. It was phenomenal. And I had a guy do this just the other week, and he wants Buffalo, New York. And he just wants to brew like he's back in Buffalo. And
okay.
So it's, you know, it's not practical to grab a water profile from Buffalo. So you're kind of going to our database of profiles.
Right. Do you normally get them from like the water districts and stuff?
The profiles we get from the water districts, or either through analysis if it's from a local water source, like they want a river that somebody's been brewing beer in 20,000 years.
What's the craziest water profile that you guys have or have had been requested to make?
That's a tough one. I think the weirdest is when somebody's like, I want it. It's almost like from a city that's known for not having great water. Like, I want the Bronx.
Yeah.
That's right.
Where are you going?
Yeah.
But, pizza sauce and little
pizza.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. See?
You know, when you get to cooking and baking, it works really, really well. And pizza restaurants, you know, there's one in San Diego that used to advertise they imported their water from Brooklyn, and they're not advertising that anymore. And I assume it's probably because they're not allowed to. So, like, that kind of environment, we can give you that water.
Nice.
That's bitching. I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Cooking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, like, I've had pizza in New York, and sorry, California, pizza sucks. Like, does, like, seriously, no. Like,
true story.
New York pizza is fantastic, and it has a lot to do with the water that's used.
Yeah. Just everything. Of course, that's awesome. Gabe, you were telling me earlier you like to use some of the profiles in your coffee, which I thought was kind of another unique. Because I'm thinking, okay, beer, pizza, that makes sense, but coffee was one I didn't actually think of, and that's kind of cool.
Any beverage, it works. Yeah. I use it in my coffee, and that's a great way for me to sample our profiles, because I can see, because I'll use the same coffee every day, and I make it the same way every day, and I can just change my water profile in it a little bit. You know, the Vermont profile just pulls out all these chocolatey, earthy notes in my coffee, versus the Dublin profile gets a little bit more tart, a little bit more acidic. And so you can really kind of just try these out. And a lot of times it carries very well the beer and the flavor profiles that you're kind of building for that base.
Awesome.
Yeah, I was just noticing, even with our, you know, experiment that we did, that with using the salts, you could definitely tell that certain elements of the beer are more pronounced. And I'm pretty sure, you know, obviously it is the water that basically did that.
We're going to find out. So speaking of finding out, why don't you pour said beers, Joshua? So
said beers are going to get poured. Okay.
So we have two. We have, so what Josh and I did, and I'll start talking about the brewing process, and you can finish up all your, for those ASMR.
ASMR, dude.
So what we did was they sent us the flavor profile for Limerick, and we decided we were going to brew two batches side by side, because Josh has some insane brewing equipment that's, you know, it's fun to look at, but it's also fun to use. So we brewed side by side, literally the exact same recipe. Nothing was different. The only difference was the water profile from Monstera. Just off of the taste that we took from our mash, you could taste the difference between the two. And what I found from that, and that was my first taste of them, was from the mash, was that the one with the Monstera profile was, it was a little bit sweeter, and obviously it was a darker color. So, and that was just off of that. And of course, Josh has had both now here after the finished product, so he knows a little bit more about it. That, but as far as like brewing goes, the recipe, nothing changed. We recipe wise try to keep it as traditional Irish red as possible, but we were missing a few ingredients, so Josh did some tweaking to kind of make it as close to an Irish red recipe.
Cheat a little bit there.
I think it came out pretty decent. So now we don't want to get these confused. So
yeah, I was gonna say.
You can tell.
Here. I mean, you can kind of tell just by looking at them, but
yeah, looking at them right now, I've got the first one he poured me is darker than the second one. So I think the darker one's the
looking too.
Monstera. So this is kind of cool. We've actually never done anything like this on the show, so I'm kind of excited to do this.
All right, so I got my Monstera to my left and non-Monstera to my right. So,
Jimmy, you look confused.
Yeah, which one was which?
So look for the darker one.
The first one was
with the salts, right?
You is the Monstera.
Okay, and the second one is not.
Is not.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So
it's all under control. I'm good now.
So which one do we want to dive in first, without or with?
I'm going to say, what do you recommend?
I would say without.
Without.
Try without first. Okay.
Okay. So, okay, second one that I poured you, let's go ahead and try that one. What do you think?
Not bad.
Yeah.
What do you think? Brandon's like, hey, wait, this is good. He was expecting it to, like, just not taste good at all.
I think it's solid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, not like Josh just... at his house there where he brews, like, it's not just La Quinta water, because he has a water purification system. So it's still good water.
It's Kunkel water.
That's what I was going to ask too. So what profile
do you use on this one? I could describe as far as like my house water is I have a water softener. It's a whole house softener. So if nothing else, I'm probably putting a bit more salt in the water because they utilize the softener uses salt to strip away iron, strip away chlorine and a bunch of other like kind of nasty shit you get from city water. So you may notice certain attributes popping more in this one. Like I noticed this one, and I'll get into more detail here, or you'll notice it in a moment, that this one maybe is a little hoppier than the other one. And it's also, it even reminds me more of like a brown ale than an actual red. And I think it's because of that saltiness, maybe kind of emphasizing certain characteristics in the malt bill. But I was going to say, as a beer, it's still a decent beer.
Right.
I still prefer the other one.
I mean, I wouldn't like, it's not a drain pour. So, I mean, no, it's drinkable.
All right. So now you guys tried that one. Let's try the one with the Monstera salts.
On the nose already, it's already a sweeter, smell to it than the first one.
Yeah.
Definitely less bite,
more. Yeah. You get more sweetness, you get more of that caramel kind of popping. I'm not sure if it was a little bit of the stressed yeast, but Brandon told me the other day there is a little bit of diacetyl on that one, and that sadly, like, that can't be helped. But I'm wondering how much of that might have been on purpose because of the change in profile.
So it's kind
of
interesting. Like when me and Jimmy, we brewed a Irish Red too. We put it in a barrel. So I had this, it's like a homebrew. It was really cool. It's like a little 5 gallon, I still have it. It's like a little 5 gallon bourbon barrel essentially, but it's had all kinds of stuff put in. So I think like, who knows, but I got it from, it was from Chris Anderson.
Oh, okay.
And so, so I had that and we, racked off some, Irish Red in there. And at first we weren't getting that off flavor. And then after it aged a bit,
it's gone.
We were getting it. Yeah. We were actually getting it more.
Oh,
like,
really?
Like at first it wasn't really there. Yeah. And so we got the same thing. So, Irish Reds.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck you.
No, you got to be like, ah, fuck you. Yeah.
Fuck you, you fucking red.
Yeah.
Bastard.
You limey bastard.
You red-beared bastard.
And our Irish downloads have just officially gone away.
They're like...
Well, as I was joking last night with the guy that... sometimes when I've been drinking, I do have a bad habit of like mimicking people. And one time when I was up in San Francisco at the Irish bar, I... So I'd be like, oh, how you doing, laddie? And the guy's like, you're not fucking Irish. I'm going to kick you.
Wrong dudes to mess with.
Yeah.
Wrong.
And his buddy's just like, man, it's not worth it.
You just switch it up and you're like, so how's it going? So, you're a phony.
I feel like an asshole because I was like, oh, I'm so sorry.
That guy's a phony.
it's like, I'm out of here.
So these beers, like, yeah. I mean, it's crazy because literally I was there. So, I mean, there was no difference at all other than the flavor profile.
Yeah. To get into like the technical speak of it. So we pretty much, actually, let me just pull up the grain bill. I can actually just read this off for you guys.
There you go. So homebrewers, write these down.
Where's his sexy music at, dude?
I know, right?
Yeah, he
needs his sexy music.
Yeah,
I don't know why, but I don't think it'll be as sexy.
Yeah.
Dude, with Josh's voice behind it? Come on.
Right? Could be.
Come on.
Yeah, I'll make
the guy exudes. He exudes sexiness, dude. It's just like the long flowy locks.
Yeah, but then when he cuts those things off, it's not going to be the same.
Your anymore. Power will be
it's
gone.
Like Samson.
Yeah,
he's like Samson.
Stripped of your power.
I told him to keep it, but apparently the future Mrs. Kunkel's not very happy about that.
So why are you cutting your hair?
I'm also
change
getting,
it up.
I'll change it up, and I'm getting sick and tired of this thing, like poking myself in the eye.
Oh, for sure, dude.
Or anybody else poking you in the eye, for that matter.
Yeah,
I know.
I'm kind of sick of doing the Favio thing all the time.
Oh, like fighting off the girls.
Yeah,
that
man,
part.
Yeah.
That part?
Me too.
The bare chested model.
Dude, I was just about to say, I like. I feel your pain. All my my luscious locks just get in my way.
I can tell. Same with Gabe. He's good, and Jimmy.
Same issue. We have pretty hair, okay? I don't care what anybody says.
I will say this. You guys probably save a lot of money on hair gel and hairspray.
Yeah, but fucking razor blades are fucking expensive, dude.
Yeah.
I just use clippers.
What's that stuff called? Nair? Just throw that up.
Nair. It drips all your eyebrows, dude, and you're like bald spots in your eyebrows.
Dude, the other day at work, someone used... I don't know why Nair
Gorilla
was at work,
was it,
but someone put it on their hands. Like they thought it was lotion. They thought it was lotion. So they put it on their hands.
Oh, I bet that burned.
All the hair off the palm, completely gone.
Oh, what? It was falling right off. Wait, that might have been a different issue.
Was that you? It was you, wasn't it?
Shit.
Don't lie.
You got me.
Yeah.
All right, so yeah, there it is. For some one reason, I'm not as well prepared today as I thought it was, but
I find that hard to believe.
You yeah, don't have seriously. The.
I couldn't. I thought I had it on there, but for some odd reason, it doesn't want to.
Epic fail, Joshua.
It's a. Yeah.
Well, you need to start linking your.
Well, the thing is, I normally do, so yeah. I don't know what happened on that one. But from memory, I can tell you we use Maris Otter.
Yes.
Maris Otter traditionally is a very good malt base for like English and Irish style beer. So that was kind of the bulk of our grain bill. I wanted to get this nice red color, so I threw in just a little bit of rye into it. Rye is a really good malt for giving kind of that ruby red kind of S color. But also to kind of augment it further, I threw in a little bit of Black Prinz, which is a chocolate malt, to kind of give it that deep, deep red color. And then to kind of round things out, especially for like head retention, I threw a bit of Carapils in there. So I'm not sure what exact amounts, but I can tell you that's kind of the bulk of the grain bill.
Carapils always good, man.
So as far as the water profiles that Monstera makes, is this is traditionally what you'll see as far as the difference? Like you'll get a much, my opinion, and everybody else can, you know, have a different experience because everyone's taste buds are different. But with the flavor profile, it's a much sweeter, more mouthfeel to it. That's what I'm getting from it. Similar in flavor, I just get more of a sweeter, boozier flavor. With the flavor profile in it than the other.
Yeah, so with at least the Limerick profile, you should pull more of the malt forward, add in the balance out the hop bitterness a little bit, and you would kind of expect that to happen with any beer that you make for that.
Yeah.
So it's like some of the profiles really help pull in those hop profiles. Some of them, the higher calcium content helps with clarity.
Yeah.
All those things kind of work in conjunction. And then when you throw the yeast in there, you know, that base water, all those minerals is what the yeast is using, and it helps, you know, even in the boil, just extract different sugars and more of them, and you can find that, you know, it comes out just very different beer just from different water.
Yeah, one of the things that came to mind when I was like drinking the Monstera beer here is it kind of reminded me of like Smittix in a way.
Nice.
And I may be wrong, and if someone could correct me on this, but Smittix I believe is from like the west side of Ireland, which is kind of where Limerick is and stuff. So I can see, you know, that connection there.
Right.
And just everything that's going on.
Yeah, it's amazing what different, just using water from
different
locations. Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, it gives you the ability to actually go brew a beer kind of in a different part of the world.
Yeah.
And just try it. And especially when you get to like the homebrew and the small breweries, you have the ability to make these changes every beer.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
At a small scale. So it's kind of like you can, you know, water's now an ingredient.
Yeah. And it's cool. And now, like, things that come to my mind that I think would be cool would be, like, around Oktoberfest. Do you guys have something to make, like, a fest beer?
Yeah, totally. And we can get you, like, we can actually go to those places in Germany that those places, you know, any place that those beers are traditionally brewed.
Yeah.
You know, you do it, want to do a Czech Pilsner.
That'd be cool.
Obviously, it's known for the soft water. We can give you that soft water, that actual same characteristics of water. It's really fun.
That's awesome.
One of the things I thought was interesting when we were doing this, because Justin reached out to you to kind of confirm this, but I wasn't sure what your base water should be when you add the Monstera salts to it. And you said most people can use like spring water or just kind of
like RO
regular water, and it has enough oomph to kind of like convert what you can. I wanted to kind of go big on this one, so I ended up buying a bunch of distilled water so that it was like as true to form as it could be. And I can definitely see, you know, that difference in the taste here because of it.
Yeah, we have a lot of customers that, you know, either wanted to RO or they wanted to whatever. Distilled, obviously, you're going down to zero. The more closer you are starting to zero, the more you're going to get true to style and true to that location.
Yeah, right.
If you want to throw it in tap water, you absolutely can, but it's going to be nothing like what.
Yeah.
You know, kind of pointless at that, you know.
Well, I learned the hard way that the chlorides and chlorine and in tap water just absolutely wrecks your beer.
Yeah.
So if you're a home brewer and you can get away from that, I would highly recommend it. If you don't have the ability to do an RO, one of the neat little trick I learned is you basically pour out your water ahead of time, usually overnight, because chlorine is a gas and it will gas off over time. So
nice. Awesome.
The more you know.
Professor Kunkel. That's out. Jimmy, what do you think over here?
What's up, man?
It's too early for Jimmy. We got out of here at like 2 a.m. last night.
Yeah. I'm mixing my beer with my Monster right now, dude.
There you go.
Monstera and Monster at the same time.
That's so, a good, you know, good collab right there.
But it's interesting. It's really interesting. I like the definite difference between the two beers is notable. So it's cool. That's it a lot. It's cool that kind of a reaction happens. So.
And you were mentioning clarity earlier, Gabe, and you can actually even see it because if you put them up side by side, you can tell the one without the salts is a little hazier than the other one, you know. So, both pretty
interesting. This is very, very interesting, honestly. Yeah.
It's cool. I feel like we turned the show into like Bill Nye the Science Guy for an episode.
We did, dude.
Threw some science.
I think I'm bleeding through my ears right now.
All right. Now that we got that out of the way, let's get drunk. No,
let's get drunk. Let's get pissed.
Yeah. Gabe's like, ah, shit. What did I get myself into?
Well, I already pre-alerted. I let him know that we're not just sampling two beers.
Sure.
We can't. I don't think we've ever had an episode where we only had two beers.
No, man.
It doesn't work. People that are driving on their commute listening to our show
would be so disappointed. Yeah. They'd be so disappointed in us.
Well, so. That's the thing, though, is I could probably sit here and geek out on this.
Seriously, I find it so fascinating because, like, I don't know, when I started adding different salts, you know, to my my water profile, that was game changer, 100%. It's like it takes your beer to a whole nother level.
I think it'd have been cool that last hazy that you made to use like maybe some Connecticut water or something from back east.
I'm down. Totally down.
Where the haze game is on point.
Right.
Yeah, we totally, the Vermont profile is like
good one.
Really geared towards that. It's got that nice mineral content, you know, just like you'd find there.
Dude, that's awesome. I would love to try
that's
that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'd mentioned before the show that, I never quite taken the water thing seriously. I mean, this was sort of the first time. I've dabbled in it before, but this is kind of a cool, like you said, it's just definitely a game changer, especially on the homebrew level. Because we're not like Coachella Valley Brewing with a $20,000 machine that can make any kind of water for you, you know? But we're homebrewers. And
so how much our machine costs?
It's like $20,000.
That's it?
I'm just kidding. I think it might be more than that, actually. I don't know. I remember it was
here,
like,
hold my beer, dude. I'll get
I remember it was like uber expensive, and I guess it self-analyzes and self-checks itself. Like one day they had like a dude show up with a toolbox, like, oh, I'm here to fix your water machine. He's like, we didn't know something was wrong with it. It's like, oh, yeah, it called us. And I was like, what?
That water machine don't need no man.
That sounds like a Roomba or something. Yeah. Like, it's like totally like it's got its own personality. Wow. Awesome.
I mean, the closest I ever came to like wanting to really dabble was with the water profile at my parents' house in Marietta. Because I remember when I got into home brewing and I used their well, they're on a well out there. So pulling up this well water, it didn't look the cleanest. Don't get me wrong. It had kind of a yellowish tint to it before we ran it through filter.
That wasn't a well?
That was
an outhouse.
That was a toilet.
That was the septic, bro.
That was the outhouse, bro.
From the mountain springs.
Yeah.
But from there, I just remember when I used the water, it made some really bitchin' porters and IPAs. So
there you go.
When I moved out to the desert here and was using like city water and just getting crap after crap, I was like, what the hell? I need to match the profile from back home, you know?
Yeah. And so that's only an hour away.
Only an hour away, which is, it's weird to think that there is a difference in, water quality just from,
You got all that Coachella Fest water hanging around. Probably a lot of gross stuff floating around out there.
Probably. And I do know.
Ecstasy in the water.
I do know if you go near
contraband.
If you go near Palm Springs white water, you actually get a little radioactive material in your water.
Ooh, right on.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
You got, I think it's a they got a logo of the three-eyed fish from The Simpsons on there.
Oh, hell yeah.
I was surprised when I got the water profile from Palm Springs because I lived in Cat City for a little while there. And, the water district sends you out the profile and it's like, iridium? What the fuck?
Natural occurring. It's natural occurring.
Naturally occurring.
I just remember this. I took a tour one time over at Mission Brewery in San Diego.
The old Wonder Bread factory.
Yeah. So, I was wondering if you've worked on like a specific profile, like just for IPAs or because in San Diego, I guess we were going on this tour and they were telling us that they use the city water for IPAs specifically because it is high in sulfites.
Yeah. So we have the Miramar profile.
which kind of is your characteristic San Diego West Coast.
Oh, wow.
That's dope, dude.
That's cool.
So, I mean, that's obviously not very popular in San Diego because everyone are.
They just use that.
But, you know, as you kind of go across country, you start to see, it's kind of cool to see what the most popular water profile is because you can kind of see what people are trying to do.
Yeah,
that's super cool.
That's cool.
Like I think the East that's Coasters, half the fun right there is the replication.
Be East like, Coasters making that West Coast IPA.
Yeah, and then the West Coasters making the East Coast stuff. It's pretty much what it is, right?
That's funny.
Well, it's a spirit of collaboration right there. Everyone's making each other's beers.
That's rad.
Good stuff. So, well, speaking of beers,
yes,
okay. I'm empty. I'm thirsty.
All right. All right.
Yeah.
So
I need a kick.
First of all, before we move on to these other beers that we're going to spotlight here that Jimmy carries here at the shop, I want to thank Gabe as well as Will, who will be listening to the show from Monstera Brewing, for sending us the product, giving us the opportunity to brew with it and have fun with it. That was the coolest thing, just to science, you know, have fun, experiment. And I'm sure we'll probably brew some more stuff with the product just to play. Like that IPA one gets me kind of excited.
I'm on the next one, I will.
Yeah.
I'm still actually kind of interested in doing like pizza dough with it, to be honest. I would love to try that one out.
Make some New York pizza.
Yeah. I think that would just be absolutely.
Yeah. Shout out to New York pizza.
Yeah. I want to boil hot dogs in it.
Oh.
I'm going to boil some hot dogs.
Hell yeah. Wait,
you boil them?
Hell yeah. Why not, dude?
Yeah, dude. Boil them, grill them.
Eat them. Can't eat them boiled.
Whatever, dude. Well,
yeah.
Microwave them usually.
But you like to eat them whole so they come out whole. So.
Yeah. Can't eat them boiled. No. But again, thank you, Gabe. That's awesome. So check out monsterabrewing.com. Check them out on Instagram, Facebook, all the jazz, except for Twitter. We found out no Twitter.
No
tweets.
No one likes Twitter.
No tweets.
Definitely check them out. And, try it out, man. Order like one and brew something with it, and you definitely will see the difference, as we did. We brewed two side-by-side exact same recipe beers and totally different. So
yeah, same mash profile, temperature, same yeast. You know, the buckets were sitting side-by-side in the same temperature. So yeah,
pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, no problem.
Hey, man, thank you.
Right. Cheers. Okay, so what do you guys want to start with from the shop?
Beer.
Beer.
Lots of beer.
Just beer.
Beer.
Okay.
How about...
True Pills?
Yeah, start off light. So, Jimmy, here at the Craft Beard Lounge, very thankful that he carries Crowns and Hops.
Totally.
Badass brewery based out of Los Angeles. Definitely coming up. Actually, I just saw him nominated for Newsweek.
U.S. News.
U.S. News, top like 10. Top 10 brewers in the country.
That's awesome, man.
So shout out to Tio, right?
Yeah, Tio and...
Tio and Benny.
Tio and Benny. Shout out to you guys, Crowns and Hops. You guys are doing amazing stuff out there.
Love their beer.
They just were featured in Rolling Stones, too.
Oh, yeah. Rolling Stones. Wow. Yeah.
They did a little article on them.
A little blip there.
And there's like CBS actually had a thing with them too. They had an interview with them last week.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doing a great job.
Out of Inglewood.
Dude, every beer we've gotten so far has been a hitter. Yeah. Every Killing single it. Beer.
Yeah. Pretty much everyone I've tried is just like, just knocking out of the park. So
what I like about their story is how they started, being borrowing the equipment in the brewery and stuff like that, but definitely a testament to what they were doing. I mean, they obviously know what they're doing to be able to grow into what they are now.
Yeah.
And it's cool that we see them here because I remember when they first started kind of getting hot, you didn't see Crowns and Hops unless you were out in LA.
Yeah.
And I think you were the first shop, I think, out here to start carrying Crowns and Hops. This is awesome. So come on down to the Craft Lounge. You have, I think right now, four or five different Crowns and Hops, something like that.
One, two, three,
four, five, so a couple, six, a few different styles.
Seven, I think.
But the one that we're sampling right here, Brandon's got the can. This is a Pilsner.
Yep.
So 8 Trill Pils, Crowns and Hops.
And that's the thing I would say I love most about these guys is it's just super clean.
Right.
Yeah. And everything's true to style. Everything's like so true to style.
And they promote a really awesome message too.
Yeah, they do. They really
absolutely love it.
Can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, right on the can it says a product promoting.
They must be getting social and racial profile correct.
Equity.
Dialing it in. So
what I love about Pilsner is we can drink it all day long, right? It's like just the most crushable traditional style beer. But as brewers, Gabe, Brandon, Josh, myself, Jimmy's got experience as well. It is one of the hardest beers to make. People think totally. Like this cheap beer, like, oh man, I could tell, like, Jimmy, I saw his face last night. Every time people come in, you got Modelo, you got Coors Light, yeah. You got this, you know,
here.
And they think it's just like the easiest beer. And it's like, no, try this, because there is so much love and passion behind this beer right here. Way better than any Coors or Budweiser you're going to drink.
Right.
But yeah, it is a very difficult beer to actually master.
If you mess up, everyone will know.
Yeah.
No.
There's no hiding on that one.
They're like, what is this, a hazy? Is it a blonde? What's going on? Like, it is so hard to get this, like, beautiful crystal clear color. I mean, I can see Josh's luscious locks right through my glass.
It has a lot to do with the yeast and the fermenting temperatures.
And the temperatures is exactly. The big one.
Yeah. Right. Getting that nice diacetyl rest going, so...
But this is
like, good. I personally think that's like kind of the game changer is the concept of the diacetyl rest. You know, once
that
kind of knowledge came about,
Brandon,
you started to kind of see a swing in quality. Also, I find it pretty awesome that, you know, for a long time, the craft brewing industry kind of went away from the Pilsner and went away from the lagers because, you know, that's Budweiser territory. That's Coors territory. We don't want to mimic them. But now they're kind of coming full circle again. And it's like, you know what? Fuck these guys. We're going to beat them at their own game. And they are. They're just kicking ass. Like,
totally.
This beer right here is
amazing.
Like, no exception. It is, like, true to style. And I would definitely pick this over, like, a Coors or Budweiser any day because it has so much more flavor, so much more going on to it that it's like, this is what the beer should be tasting like.
Hey, man. That's totally solid. Good stuff.
What do you think, Gabe?
Pilsner is amazing. And Pilsner are my favorite style of beer. Just
dude. I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
That's my jam.
Yeah, we were talking about that yesterday.
Lager beers, yeah. Man, are my shiz.
Well, that's what our goal kind of last night was, to just stick to stuff like this. But I heard you kind of snuck over on the deep end somewhere.
I was to the dark side. I was hanging out with some Bottle Logic Stasis beers.
Wow.
Yeah, it was good times.
Haven't you ever seen a Band of Brothers, No Man Left Behind?
No.
Here I am drinking the lightest one, and you're over here drinking 14% stouts.
Yeah, but he also woke up on the stage at one point with, like, bottles around him. And
yeah.
He had, like, a newspaper wrapped around him for a blanket. Just like,
woke up nude on top of the mattress truck.
Yeah. Why am I at Grumpy Tom's Pizza? What's going on?
And why is Grumpy Tom on spooning me?
Those aren't pillows.
Right? But this is a very, very clean, drinkable, refreshing Pilsner.
Oh, yeah.
Good job, Crowns and Hops.
Yes. Fantastic.
Great job.
We're going to get into one of their other beers.
I'm actually excited for that one because that's the one that just came out.
It's so good. I had one yesterday, dude. Yeah.
They got another one come out next week. They just contacted me last night about.
Oh.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
There's the deets right there. You heard it on the Beer Dad and Brew podcast. So, Crowns and Hops fans, come see Jimmy.
Oh, yeah. Damn, that's good.
You will not be disappointed.
No. I haven't had one bad beer from them. As a matter of fact, one of my favorite stouts. They have
that American stout that we had.
Urban Anomaly. Urban Anomaly.
That was good.
Oh man, I love that beer. And Urban Night.
Oh dude.
Oh, it
we
is
might have to.
Remarkable. I love stuff. That beer.
That beer is amazing.
It's
Urban Night, the double, the Imperial version.
I haven't had that one, dude.
It's actually just right there with it.
Right. Yeah, Gabe. Pretty much just think of like your most classic American stout.
Yeah.
Like roasty, chocolatey. Yeah. And just clean.
Really like true. So true to
and
style.
It was like 6%, something like that.
Yeah. Was it? Yeah, 6%.
It's like six, little, maybe 6.5.
Well, perfect.
But it's just, it just boom, boom, hitting all those marks.
If someone asks you like, hey, what's a stout?
There it is.
Boom, right there. Yep.
That's the one.
Perfect.
That's the one. Awesome. So let's crack the next one.
All right. We're going to jump over to San Diego here.
Wait, no, but we got one more Crowns and Hops, right?
Well, I thought we were going to circle back.
Yeah? All right, we'll circle back.
Let's circle back.
Let's do that. All right, okay, so we'll go from L.A., we'll go down to San Diego. What is this?
I think we should shotgun
it. We're going to jump.
I think so. Do it right now.
Another awesome brewery.
Shotgun it.
Okay. I'm just kidding. we're just kidding. We want some, too.
Yeah.
We got a little spitter here. We got a spitter. Society Brewing.
Oh, so many jokes.
So, jokes here. So we got Society. It's their experimental IPA, The Bachelor.
These are single hop.
Single hop IPAs. Yeah. And this one happens to have Matueka in it. So a little New Zealand fun there.
That's how you say it.
Yeah. I've always said Mutika, but Matueka, sure, that works. Yeah. How about you, Gabe? Where do you go?
Matueka.
More twerka.
More twerka.
More twerking.
More yeah. twerking.
I think I've always said
Motika.
I think Moteca is what I've
said. A lot of words wrong, so.
Yeah. I do too. Usually when we're talking about something that has like, because a lot, well, right now you guys know within the industry, we're getting a lot more foreign hops and some of these names, I'm just like, all right, Josh, you're the librarian. Yeah, exactly. Go ahead and tell us what this is. I'm not going to butcher it on the show.
He's breaking down the phonetics of it. Okay, yeah. So, okay.
Well, to be honest, I'm saying Motueka, but that's my take on it. I may be wrong.
Need to get a speaking spell. Sounds good. Hops.
Yeah.
Break out Google.
I'm just, in my mind, I'm thinking of like, you know, the natives of fucking New Zealand, like how would they pronounce this?
Right.
Or how are their names normally pronounced?
You just pull the thing and it's like,
that's
like,
kind of what it's like pulling from. Is
the hop farmer says, yeah. Motueka.
But they usually say it like in the Hakka version. So it's like, Motueka. Yeah.
I love it when they do that Hakka stuff. That thing, it's so like, with their tongue, like, but it's always like at a funeral. Like at a funeral. Like I saw this one. I'm like, how badass was this? This was, and you could tell how great of a teacher this guy was. He was like I think he was high school football coach / teacher, but definitely made impression on all these kids. His whole entire class did this Hakka for him at his funeral. And it was just like, man, like, talk about like touching like that. Yeah. That was really badass. Like I love those videos.
My cousin married into a Samoan family and they did a Hakka at the wedding.
Nice. That's
pretty
dope.
Cool.
That's yeah.
Fun,
yeah. That's cool.
Feel the energy.
Yeah. I remember what was it? Women's soccer a couple years ago.
Oh yeah.
The New Zealand soccer team like totally came out and did it. And like, you could tell, like, totally intimidated.
That shit is like, intimidating. Sure. Dude. Yeah.
Well, imagine them be like, these crazy bitches.
Dude, what are they doing?
The referees are like, fuck, again?
Really? I saw they had these, like, New Zealand Marines. Like, I think they're, like, technically, like, Royal Marines or something like that for England. I don't know how it works. But they're doing a Hakka, dude. And there's these, you know, big-ass Maori dudes that have these machine guns on their backs. And they're doing a Hakka. And I'm just like, yeah, no, dude, I'm good.
Fuck that. That's scary.
Nah, I'm good. Because they were doing that. They were all in fatigues. And they had rifles on their backs.
Yeah, they all look like the Rock.
Yeah, dude, each one of them, like the smallest dude was like 6'9 or some shit, dude. It was like fucking.
So society.
That's awesome.
Society, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, society. Yes.
One of the dopest breweries to come out of San Diego.
Yeah.
And they never canned their beers until now. Yeah, so we are super so we're super fortunate
another
to get
silver
their
lining
beer.
Of COVID, I guess.
So yeah, this is through Stone Distribution.
Nice.
And it's fucking awesome that we're getting their beer now.
Society's in my top
5 for Hell yeah, dude.
There you go.
Yeah,
they're definitely up there and I got to thank them personally because when I went to go visit them, I bought a growler, my little silver bullets.
Oh, yeah. Well,
they came from society. So, and I asked the guy because he was like, you know, they were one of the few breweries that were cool about filling blanks or other people's growlers because at the time the laws were getting kind of weird, but they were actually selling blank growlers so you could take them to different breweries.
Dude,
and I was like,
awesome.
That's fucking awesome. You guys are like open to that collaboration.
A lot of places would just tell you to put some like electrical tape over there.
Yeah. The words of the brewery.
I always thought that was dumb.
Stupid as shit,
you know,
right?
Because
I know.
Back in the Midwest, you know, back where Mr. Craig, Uncle Craig, you met him, Jimmy.
Did.
When we went brewery hopping, he pulls out this blank crowler thing or growler. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, they're not going to let you do that because I'm so used to how it is out here. And he's like, what are you talking about? And he's got stickers all
over.
Yeah. And every brewery, like, that's not a thing back there. Yeah. They're just like, yeah, no.
Over there, I'm sure you can take, like, any size mason jar.
As long as you got money, they don't care. They'll put beer in there.
There's a spot, in Albany, Oregon, and it's called the Growler Garage. And they do that. So they have, like, a bunch of taps. And you go there, and they will fill anything. Like, seriously.
Will they do a suicide?
Probably if you ask them. I don't know.
Le Cuvée.
We have 14 right here. We could do a suicide.
That might be in another episode.
Oh,
we'll have you at the very end.
Wait till I get the mead back on there, though. Wait till I get the mead back on there.
Yeah. But
we'll get the
wheelbarrow
ready for that.
So it's freaking nuts. Yeah, I saw a guy bring in just like, I think it was like a vase or something. I don't know.
Vase with aluminum foil and a rubber band on top.
Yeah.
And
like,
pulling down. That reminds me of like, once a year, well, they probably don't do it because of COVID, but They did. 7-Eleven does that day where you can bring any object and fill a Slurpee. People are showing up with like,
I know, dude, at the way he says it.
They'll bring like paint buckets and like whatever they can get a hold of. And it's one price. Doesn't matter what it is. As long as it has a lid, you can fill it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's fun. It's fun to see the random stuff people come walking in with that.
Gas cans.
Yeah.
Gas cans.
Yeah. Like, here, empty this out real quick. Go fill it up.
Yep.
Like, so crazy. But that's dope, though.
Jesus Christ, dude.
Really, yeah, so California, why?
No, when he came out here, he was all excited. The first time Uncle Craig came for, like, a big brewery tour we did down in San Diego, and we did some brew hopping. We got a very fancy hotel room in Miramar, California, right? The Holiday Inn right there out the 15. And then we just Ubered it up. We did Miramar, we did North Park, and then we ended up in Carlsbad, I think, for the last day, Vista. And the first place we went to was what was it? It's across from Ballast Point.
Goldfingers.
Duckfoot.
Goldfingers is over there, dude.
Goldfingers. No.
Yeah, dude.
That was the last place they ended up.
We went to Duckfoot.
They ended up there.
We went to Duckfoot, and he bought a growler, and I wasn't with him when he bought it, because I would have told him. And he buys the growler, and you know, he's all excited, and he bought it empty. And he's like, whenever I find the beer, I'm gonna get it filled. So he had it in the car, and we ended up where was his favorite beer? Belching Beaver. He wanted peanut butter stout. He brings the Duckfoot growler in there, and I'm like, what are you doing? No. Yeah. And of course they tell him, and he's all like upset. And I told the girl, I'm like, he's from Arkansas. You got to give him, give him a chance.
And she got, Arkansas.
So, I don't remember. I'll have to ask him. I can't remember if they filled it or not, or put a sticker over it. Yeah. And let him fill it. I can't remember how to. He'll listen. He'll listen to the show.
It's like to my buddy Devin over does a beer. Is like, why wouldn't you want to make a sale?
Right.
It's like,
who cares?
Yeah.
And they try to say it's for health reasons. No, because if I bring yours,
it's to sell.
Back, you're still refilling it. So how's it any different?
Yeah.
It's just they want money.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah,
exactly.
Or in the case of Black Market, the one time I went in there, I don't know who they hired this one time, but went in there, brought my growler, and I was like, oh, sorry, we can't like take other people's growlers. Like, okay, let me buy one of yours. I'm like, yeah, we ran out. I'm like, do you want a sale or not?
That's terrible. Yeah.
So
I'm trying to work with you here.
So this beer, I'm actually not really that familiar with this hop. So
yeah.
I just looked it up real quick. But I've had beers with this hop, but since it is a single hop, so we can kind of tell people like what to expect.
Yeah.
Very like tropical, citrus.
Tropical citrus notes.
And then also I read this right now. It says that it has like tropical, like lime characteristic. Yeah. So that I get that like, on the front.
I did. I've taken two drinks now, but I get kind of a bubblegum kind of aspect to it.
If they were cryo hops, then I would totally.
See, I'm not quite getting that, but I am getting.
I get what you're saying, dude. I get it.
I do, like right on the back end of my tongue. But I get a little bit of bubblegum.
I get lime, like all day, like lime zest.
Yeah.
Lime
I like zest, that, and I appreciate that because I've always been a big fan of lime. But that one Mexican lager you made with lime, holy shit, was that amazing. But this is a good beer. It's very tropical esque.
That Mexican lager I did with the lime note, that was the yeast.
The yeast.
That was kind of cool. That was when I was playing around with the Kvike.
Mm-hmm.
East, there's a variant that produces a big lime character to it. So I thought, fuck it, I'm going to make a Mexican lager with this yeast.
That was a hit at Props and Hops.
Yeah. And it was pretty awesome because it's like squeezing the lime in the beer, but you don't have to.
Yeah.
It's ready to go. I'm actually getting almost like a little bit of like a garlic or onion back note too. But
onion powder?
But maybe...
What do you think, Jimmy? Do you like this one?
Because I'm a vampire.
I like it. I'm getting a lot of like herbal or earthy notes in it for myself.
Maybe that's just that herbal quality. Maybe
I get a ton of citrus. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like a ton of citrus on this beer.
It was not as because I've had Society before, and being with the single hop with this particular hop, I wasn't expecting. I was just from my initial dive in with the old sniffer here. I was like, okay, this is gonna be like super like. Slap you in your face, hoppy, and it wasn't.
Dude, it's so neutral, right?
Yeah,
I love it. Whatever grain bill they use, too, I
I could almost compare this to, I mean, no, totally different style, but like a Pilsner, like I could crush this beer.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah. That's a good beer.
Dude, it's really good.
The masses here need to come to the Craft Lounge and check this beer out for yeah. sure.
Well, it still lasts because I think they're working on the next Bachelor. It's coming out.
There you go. Jimmy, you got a phone call.
I'm not open right now.
We are not open.
Yeah.
All right. What's next?
The Bachelor.
All right. So jumping around, what we got here?
Oh, I'm excited about this one.
Yeah, this one actually is really good, and I got to thank you, Jimmy, for grabbing this because I know it's your favorite style.
It is.
So it is a Braggot.
It's a different take on a Braggot.
Yeah.
Because it's a lagered.
Yeah, a lagered so. Braggot. Now, some people, you'll say that and be like, what'd you call me? But but for those who don't know, a Braggot is basically a beer mead hybrid.
Yeah.
So I think we've talked about it a few times on the show, but it's still...
Shout out to Johnny C. What the fuck is mead?
What the fuck is mead? Yes. Johnny, what the fuck is mead?
Speaking of that, Johnny C., I was just talking to him the other day. He is taking a trip to the Smoky Mountains, Tennessee and North Carolina. He's going to be bringing us back some
beer.
North Carolina beer. From where is he going? I forget what city he said. I'll have to look at his text messages, but... He wants to have us review some of the beers that we bring back. So
nice.
From where now? Who what now?
Some North Kakalaki and Tennessee beers.
Oh, a little Krakalaki, mm-hmm. a little Tennessee.
Yeah, Krakalager.
Krakalager.
Let's see what we got here. I'm sure. Have you had beers from North Carolina? Has Will ever sent you anything?
So I spent a lot of time in Asheville.
Okay.
In the past,
so nice.
Dope.
Hit most of the breweries out there.
That's right. Any ones to sing home?
That's where he's going. Asheville.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Brandon, yeah.
Yeah, I just had my very first burial beer the other day.
I'm going to have that to the list of where he needs to go because he was asking me, and I gave him a couple. I don't remember what I told him, but
yeah.
There was a mead. I sent him to it's a mead meadery. Yeah. I didn't tell him. But it's an ongoing joke on the show. Our good friend, Johnny, he was with us at Props and Hops, and he's the main reason why we sold out of mead because – for whatever reason, he just thought it was a cool name or whatever, but he was going out into the crowds at this brew fest and bringing people back to the booth to drink the mead, buy tickets for mead.
Yeah.
And then the whole time, he had no idea what mead was.
Yeah.
And so he
never tried it.
He made anything. A statement on the show. Like, he's like, yeah, I was doing this and it was all great. And he's like, but what the fuck is mead? So yeah. It's an ongoing joke. So I thought it'd be funny that we That's would send him to a meadery.
Yeah, I never heard that story. And when he was here, that was the first episode I was on. And yeah. you guys were
it's
saying
It's on
that.
One of the episodes, the Props and Ops episode. If you listen to it, because it's just kind of funny. Because we talk about... what was going on that day. And he was like, okay, I got a serious question.
He was like a used car salesman. He brought like 30, 40 people to line up for mead. I don't know what he was telling them or like, he's like, it's the greatest thing ever. And like, all of a sudden they're like, yeah, we're here for that mead. And I'm like, okay, yeah, here's, you know, tickets or whatever.
Yeah.
And people just like started drinking and yeah, he had no idea what it was.
Also, a couple of the North Carolina breweries that are pretty dope that I've had beer from. I don't know if you've ever heard of Flying Machine and New Anthem are both
New Anthem
really,
is, what,
really
is
cool.
The one that you gave me, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, they make cool stuff. I had from Flying Machine, I think I had this like crazy beer. It was like banana, coconut, I don't know, something stout. It was insane. Mm. It was fantastic.
Okay. Wild.
They make really cool experimental beers.
We're gonna pour this. I'm excited for this.
Awesome.
You haven't had this before, right?
Core beers.
No.
Okay.
So you told me about it last night. Yeah. So this is a lagered Braggot. What's cool here, Mason L Works, we already know, is an awesome brewery down in San Diego. I love their beers. And Jimmy carries their beers here.
I do.
But the cool thing is this is a collab with Superstition Meadery, and we've heard about them a lot.
Yes,
they're out in, I want to say Sedona or...
No, they're Arizona. In Prescott, Arizona.
Prescott, that's the one. Yep. Right next to Sedona.
Just kind of weird their that I
meat
lived
is
there for
nuts.
2 years. And
like, it's insane. Dude.
Before my time.
So huge in the mead game. Huge. Like, in fact, Jeremiah at King's did a Frosé collaboration on both sides. So they did one of their... beers out here, and then they actually did a mead frosé.
Nice.
Okay. And that was like I on the aftermarket, those bottles were selling for like $300. It was such a limited release, but I would never ever pay $300 for a bottle of beer.
To the no.
Sorry.
Never.
Depends on what it does to you.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. What's in the beer?
What's in the beer, bro?
If it gives you wings what's and you can actually beer? Fly, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. But
it gives you a lot of things. I mean,
yeah. You go Brad Pitt. What's in the beer?
What's in the beer?
What's in the beer?
That's not funny.
Also,
it's kind of fucked up. It is.
Yeah. But okay. Yes. One of the things I love about this ragged here is like you get the honey notes like right in the nose. Like just super inviting.
And it's Brazilian honey, right?
Also, yeah. So to read the description, because it is a laggard. It's a lagered braggart with a tangerine and apricot made with organic Brazilian honey.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
Wow.
One of these days, I would love to go out to Superstition Meadery and check it out.
Same here. I thought you were going to say Brazil, dude.
Carnival. I thought you were going to say something about butts and stuff.
I know. That's what I was going for. I was like, oh, whatever. But you said Superstition.
Yeah, whatever.
Highest weirdo
Brazilian booties. Of
plastic surgery in the world.
Really?
Oh, okay. So maybe we need a Beer Dad and Brewed podcast in Brazil.
I don't know. Rio. Little Rio.
Is that the one time we can get you away from the shop, Jimmy, if we go to Brazil?
Yeah.
Okay.
Shut down
for a week. Sorry, we're closed for a week.
You know, I just realized we didn't actually even say the name of the beer.
Oh, the
what is it called?
The name of the beer.
We're so rude.
Yeah. It's freaking Narnar. It's a Intergalactic Battle Mammoth.
Yeah.
The can art on this is ridiculous. Yeah. It looks. Yeah. It reminds me of the old Hot Rod stickers. What was that one?
Oh, Rat Fink?
Yeah, Rat Fink. Yeah. It looks like a Rat Fink art. It's really cool.
Yeah.
That's another thing that's cool about this pandemic. Yeah. Not that it's a cool pandemic, but... These breweries are
so cool. Definitely not cool.
Nothing's cool about the pandemic.
Cool don't match.
I know.
But what's great about is these breweries. Well, we had Society. They didn't can before. Now they can. But a lot of the can art that's coming. There's so much like people that are just like bored and they're like, I'm gonna just go ham on these cans.
I think it's kind of funny when people put like when they have like their logos and they just put like masks over like characters. I just thought that was just really funny. Like
that was not original, by the way. Not original.
No, not at all. But it's funny though.
But you know, definitely cool can art.
Yeah, and definitely a cool style, and it's one you really don't see. Like this is the first time I've actually ever seen a professional brewery take on that style. You know, I mean, I've done it as a homebrew, and it was funny because I was doing it before I knew what the hell it was. I remember taking it into a homebrew club, and I was like, "Oh yeah, I made this beer. Oh, what's your process? Oh, you made a braggot. What?"
You know. What do you guys think, Jimmy? What do you think of this beer?
Oh, I love this beer. I could tell. So easy.
This is one of your favorite styles, isn't it?
So easy drinking. I love the citrus on it.
So it wasn't
there's
a
like
hard,
floral notes coming through.
Wasn't a hard sell when they're like, no. "I need you to carry this at your store."
Yeah, no, like, it wasn't a problem.
I'll take and give me some extra for myself.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I joke with people. That's how like Jimmy and I kind of bonded at first. When I work like two blocks from the shop here, so I come in and just kind of pick his brain. But one time we got on the topic of the homebrew festival out of Vail Lake. And mm-hmm. Jimmy was like, "Oh yeah, there's this guy that made a braggot. It was fucking awesome." And I was like, "Yeah, that was me."
Like, awesome.
Well, dude, that was a very, very good braggot. I remember that.
Speaking of homebrew festivals, you guys will probably be there. Joshua was just telling me, I think the Beer Dad and Brew podcast is going to be at, where are we going?
The homebrew festival in Vail Lake or
no. Oh, San Diego.
Oh, in San Diego. Sorry.
Homebrew con. You had one job, Josh.
All right. Sorry.
It's going to be at
there's
Baker's.
A lot of homebrew.
Oh yeah,
stuff
dude.
Going on. But yeah, homebrew con this year, for those who don't know, is in San Diego. I believe it's June 17 to 19, which is birthday territory for me. So I'm definitely going to be there.
We will be celebrating Josh's birthday at the homebrew convention. We're going to see about getting a booth and doing live episodes there.
Rad.
So kind of the way it works is, you know, it's just like any other convention, but you got, you know, industry day and homebrewer day. So on industry day, random people that are celebrities to us are going to be walking around, be like, "Hey, come over, sit down, let's do a podcast."
Be badass.
Yeah. I think it's going to be great. So we're going to probably be there.
So, one of the beer of the beer that me and Josh brewed.
Yes, that's right. So you probably had it. We had it on the show a couple of times and it's different iterations and versions and plastic bottle versions and whatnot. But
don't talk about that.
Brandon and I basically collaborated on a Wee Heavy. That was the style, but we wanted to kind of tweak, tradition here, and we threw some crazy hops at it. And I would say the resulting beer was pretty phenomenal. I mean, it's getting better with age. And I went ahead and told Brandon last night I decided to throw it into the National Homebrew Competition. kind of test its mettle against all the other beers. But the more I was like drinking it, the more I was looking at the style, I was like, it's not quite wee heavy territory, but it definitely lines up with Old Ale. So that's what I went ahead and submitted it as. And hopefully,
we hopped the hell out of it.
Yeah. See? Hopefully we'll knock it out of the park and, it turned take out home some medals.
Really rad, yeah.
And it's kind of cool that the Homebrew Con is in San Diego this year, because that's usually where they announce the winners. And, you know, if you're in the auditorium and they call your name, you get to go up and just make a fool of yourself. Yeah.
No, that'd be fun. Flash. Yeah, I'm definitely going to get those days off, man, so we can go. So even if we don't place, it's going to be fun.
We will. And then I told them we'll need to look at hotels too, because there's literally a hotel right next to the convention center. So I think it's called the Bayfront, Hilton Bayfront, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Like you could just walk out of the hotel and walk right into the convention center.
Yep. That's rad. Maybe you could just find a place where nobody will look, and we could just sleep inside of the convention center.
Yeah, that's true. Or that's outside with all the homeless people.
Well, that too.
Just go find the tent city around the corner.
And no one will look.
Ah, dude, if we get a booth, we could just sleep post up there. Sam.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. We're doing a 24/7 podcast here, guys.
Yeah, paying
no
for
attention.
It. Shit, we're going to get our money's worth.
Don't worry about these blanket tents we got going on here.
Absolutely. Are you guys going to be down there? Have you talked about it?
I'm going to be in attendance.
Okay.
We aren't going to have a booth.
No booth. Okay. Well, definitely stop by when you'll see us there.
Yeah, it's usually a lot of fun. I mean, went to the one a couple years ago in Providence. That was the first time I had gone to one of these homebrew cons, and I was just like, shit, why didn't I do this before? Because it was a pretty awesome experience. For those who haven't been, one, if I had to sell it, it's you basically have like 3 days of convention where you're talking to industry people, and just they're trying to sell you product, you know, homebrew equipment, this and that. You also have podcasts. Aficionados, you have, you know, people just teachers in the industry and so on and so forth. But during the day you do the convention, you talk shop, you do, you know, business as usual. But when they shut down the convention for the day, they have usually like an open pour night. And the first night's usually professional night, so you get a bunch of professional breweries, like just free samples. They got little hors d'oeuvres running around so you can kind of get yourself fed a little bit. But then the next day, kind of repeat, you get convention, and then as they shut down for the night, it's homebrew night. So you get a lot of homebrew clubs from all over the country who come and set up shop and do the same thing. They're, you know, letting you sample all sorts of crazy shit. And I had some awesome beers when I went to that Providence. Like there was a club out of New York that did a cucumber beer, just phenomenal. Like, I mean, I've seen cucumber in beer, but like they just went straight up, like, we're just going to load this thing down. And it was absolutely amazing. There was also a homebrew club out of Texas who did a no boil beer, so just kind of turning a lot of this shit on their head. He literally,
dude, that is sketchy.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That sounds crazy.
But they were in a part of Texas that got up to like 105, 110, you know, and with the humidity stayed there, so they literally just let this thing kind of mash for like 2 or 3 days.
Dude, that's wild.
Pull it out and then threw some yeast at it and let it go, and it was actually a pretty damn good beer.
There were no off flavors.
No off flavors.
What the fudge?
Yeah,
you got to appreciate. We like crazy, weird, funky stuff. Yeah. That's why we made beer with turmeric and ginger that Brandon really enjoyed.
Yeah.
Well, I always go to people that home brewing is, or I should say brewing in general, is like an all roads lead to Rome kind of concept. Mm-hmm. Like there's really no wrong way to do it.
Have fun. Experiment. That's what it's all about.
Just be clean and watch attempts. That's it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So.
And get creative.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I just saw a meme the other day. It was kind of funny, but a testament too, because like literally, like you have something like this on the tap. But it said something about I'm currently looking for my ingredients for my next IPA, and it's like the candy aisle with all the chocolate bars. Because they're doing some weird stuff. The other day, I posted up on our story on the Beer Dad page, that freaking brewery in Texas, they made buffalo wing beer and ranch dip beer.
Yeah, dude, no,
so it's not actually brewed.
I think there is a little bit of a limit on what you can.
I thought they just called it that. I thought it was just an IPA that they just called
that. No, it was actually buffalo wing and ranch dip.
I don't want to believe it.
It was. one of the guys I follow, he got both and he sampled both. And he said, as wild as it sounds, the buffalo wing one was tolerable. The ranch one was like drain pour. However, he knows somebody from the brewery, and they told him, pour about 3/4 together of the buffalo wing and 1/4 of the ranch dip. And he was like, it was great. And I was like, dude, I don't trust you.
I can't see that, dude. I can.
Yeah.
Fucking wackadoos.
I know, dude. I can't.
There's just too much for me sometimes. Yeah. Too much. Because I enjoy all these crazy sours that we get sometimes from Jeremiah or from Marcus down in Houston, and And I like those, but like some of these beers with some of the ingredients, you're just like, that's
well,
too
see, that's where
far.
I have to kind of like draw a line. It's like, I get it when you're throwing like candy bars and like sugar, because sugar is going to get fermented. Right, it's right, going right. to break down for, or it's not, but you know, it's, but it's something that is similar in style.
But we don't
to
need to be
beer.
Drinking ranch.
But yeah, right. if you're throwing in like
you need to be drinking
up,
chicken.
But if you're
yeah,
throwing chicken. Up straight up
I know, it's called soup,
milk.
Dude.
If you want to drink ranch, you can just drink ranch.
I know, dude.
No one is stopping you.
I mean,
you.
I don't know
adult,
why,
you can do this.
When, I, drink when, I, saw, chicken, when I saw those beers the first time, I just pictured somebody like they're throwing chicken wings into the mash tun.
See, that's actually what we use for palate cleansers here. little ranch.
Yeah, but they call that soup.
Yeah,
that's what it's
called. Caldo
soup. You're not making beer. You're making soup.
Some caldo de pollo.
Yeah, cabbage and potatoes and that shit.
Another wild one that I saw the other day, it was Omnipolo, and they did a what did they dry hop with? Jawbreakers, like the big old Jawbreakers.
Oh yeah, you're talking about that. Yeah.
So they made an IPA with, and then Chris, our stone rep, one of our good buddies,
he was here last night.
Yeah, he told me about some hamburger bun beer that they made one time.
Hamburger bun. Yeah. It was like that. That's
like jailhouse shit, dude.
Random.
That's like jailhouse.
It was actually Bruno,
Yeah, it was Bruno, dude. It was used to beer. Had to ferment it.
Making that juice in the toilet. Good stuff. All right, Josh, crack us another.
Okay.
Is that how homebrewing started? All right, like in prison?
This one's got your name on it.
I'm excited, actually, to try this.
It says Beardad on it?
Heater Allen.
It's got my last name.
Sticky.
Peter Allen, their brewery. Oregon. McMinnville, Oregon.
McMinnville. Never heard of it. Where are they at? Like in regards to Oregon, like Portland, Eugene, Bend.
So it's south of Portland.
South of Portland? Yeah. It's like close to Bend or?
It's so like.
We're south of Portland.
We're definitely south of Portland.
So. We're very south.
But yeah, it's. I think it's kind of like, I don't know, it's more like around like Eugene. Okay. You know, like
Levy,
close to the college.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, is like it next to the Eugene Levy?
There, but Eugene is south of Portland, right?
It is, but it's like middle of the state.
Okay.
What are we?
Yeah.
That's a beautiful really color. What are we drinking here?
Sorry,
you don't like Oregon?
I hate them. No, I hate Eugene, Oregon.
Okay,
specifically
because you got Eugene. And
so
then,
all the listeners, Eugene. Sorry, man.
Lebanon.
At this point, Josh hates every single one of you.
No.
If your ID says Eugene, Oregon, you guys suck.
You're
apparently.
No, I had a very bad experience in Eugene.
So fuck all you guys.
Yeah. So.
Apparently.
A bunch of crackheads who like to smash in windows and shit.
What?
What?
It's crazy.
Don't go to Eugene.
Come on, dude.
I will tell you, Ashland, Oregon, fucking awesome place.
Ashland?
Right on the border with California, pretty much.
Nice. So you guys get a pass. You guys get a pass from the Kunkel.
And actually, Portland's pretty
the Kunkel
awesome
Fury.
Too. Well, I'm in Portland, you know. Most breweries and strip clubs in the nation. You can't go wrong with that. So.
Yeah.
There you go. Right. So I want to just talk about the most astounding and beautiful color I've seen to date on a beer. Look at that.
So Heater Allen does lagered beers, like traditional, mostly like German
This is an
styles.
Alt beer, right?
Yeah, it's an alt beer. Yeah. And and they do an amazing job, like one of the best like that I've had, like lagered breweries, along with... Annegren. Mm-hmm. And
Annegren.
Jack's Abbey.
Yeah. Jack's Abbey is a really good one. That they actually they were doing a
That's good.
That's really
hell
good.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually.
Let's
take a moment to savor this.
I did the whole like wannabe Cicerone taste on that and it just blew my mind. That was a good beer.
Right.
Oh my god.
He'd be like, I got no words.
So
I got no words.
So we had a few last night Justin Pardon asked me what we should drink and I was just like literally like looking at like all stumbling around.
He
like,
was stumbling.
Yeah, I was stumbling around just like looking at the
holding the bottle under.
Yeah. I was looking at the coolers and I was like, I like this one. And then Justin's like, okay.
Beer.
He's like, cool. So he just like kept. So this is literally how we picked these out last
this
night.
This was some random selections from last night's debauchery.
Yes.
Definitely a good one.
And every one of these beers has been fudging awesome.
Fudging awesome.
Yeah. What do you think, Gabe? This is your first time having Heater Allen.
Yeah, I know. This is amazing.
Yeah, this is a damn good beer.
I feel like this is what an alt beer should be tasting like. Because I've had a lot of alt beers, but it always feels like there's always something off about it.
Are
like something weird about it, but this actually is like spot on. Like
Joshua.
Do well in the US for some reason.
No. Yeah. Joshua, tell the listeners what an alt beer is, because this is story time with Joshua Kunkel, the brewed man.
Well, this is one where is it brewed by the cure? I know a little bit, but I'm not.
Brewed by the cure?
Yeah. Right. You got to put some like eye makeup on and dye your hair black.
Nine Inch Nails makes it
get real sad and shit.
Yeah, everybody's all sad now. You know, like,
get on fucking.
And he's lost it.
Burning Angels.
Okay, good.
Okay, yes. So alt beer was, if I remember this correctly, it was kind of like the Germans export beer.
Okay.
So it typically kind of not quite your Fest beer, not obviously your Oktoberfest or your Helles. It's kind of a variation of the Helles beer, but it was a beer that was meant to go for long storage as it got shipped to different countries. And typically it has a little bit higher proof, a little higher alcohol than your traditional German beer. And it's also a little bit more robust, so more hops, more malt, that kind of thing. So
there's a lot going on with this beer. Yeah.
You can think of it as like the German's version of like an IPA, you know, back in the day. So
back in the day, 5.6 is high, because now 5.6 is like,
Sunday afternoon.
That's like butt chugging ammo.
Yeah, dude.
Easy.
Yeah, but
yeah, because a lot of people don't realize that a lot of the German beer, especially when you get
chugging ammo,
the Fest beers and stuff, is they usually range from like 4 to 5%. It wasn't until you got to Oktoberfest or Doppelbock that you started getting like 6 to 8%, and that's about as high as most German beers went, was 6 to 8%.
Jimmy's lost it over here.
Butch and ammo, dude.
I think this is the third episode Lock and loaded. Third episode in a row where butt chugging was mentioned.
Yeah, dude.
It's just something funny to say. I don't know. It's just like,
if you've been keeping track with your beer dad and brewed bingo.
Exactly.
Every time Brandon says butt chug. Woo,
drinking game.
You got a butt jug. Like,
but he's sorry. Ammo. He added ammo to that, dude. That's just hilarious. Yeah, fucking lock and loaded, baby.
I love it.
Chug it.
ASMR guys are like, come on, do it.
Come on, just dude. I know, dude.
You've been teasing us.
He's been slacking on ASMR today.
Yeah, there's only been like two can snaps, so this last can I better hear.
Yes. You're slacking microphone. On ASMR.
Really?
Josh.
I've been trying to do it as close as possible. Turn my mic up.
The mic up.
Turn my head. My headphone. Turn on my left headphone.
Dude, hold on. Get the tears out of my fucking eyes, dude.
Jimmy liked that.
Fucking butt chuck ammo.
That might be
fucking get a shirt like that.
That might
become
a t-shirt too.
Yeah, dude.
Tickled porpoise. It's all 5 point.
Dude, it's gonna say 5.6% butt chug ammo.
We're redefining Lord. The English language.
Yeah, damn right.
One podcast at a time.
Oh my,
that's right.
It's evolution at its finest, ladies and gentlemen.
All right. Well, I'm sold on Heater Allen. So
that's really sold on butt chugging.
Oh, you gotta try.
Yeah.
Not quite sold. On.
You gotta try the Pilsner we have in there too. The Pilsner is amazing. Yeah,
definitely.
Some more ammo.
Yeah, that's butt chugging ammo for sure. Dude. Yeah.
So all right, Joshua.
Still crispier. Crisper.
Last can of the show.
Right, let's circle around.
Or is it?
Coming back to Crowns and Hops.
Crisper anal thirst.
All right, so anal thirst. Pretty sure that shouldn't be on the show. I don't know why.
You're going to butt chug dudes because your fucking butt is thirsty. Okay, that's good. Let's see the next one.
Yes.
So circling back around, we're coming back to Crowns and Hops.
This is the one I picked out last night.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is a damn fine beer.
One of their newest releases, not counting the one that Jimmy's going to be getting here pretty soon. But this is, if I'm not mistaken, this was like a, is this the one that was like a throwback to his college or something like that?
Yeah. So HBCU is the name of this beer. It is a double dry hop, hazy IPA that they did, but it is a very fine example of the beer, as you will see.
All right. Well, I'm excited to try this. That's better.
Yeah.
Much better.
All right. Nice pillowy, cloudy, and everything in between.
I did that for the folks.
I need to go take a piss now, dude.
Yeah, seriously. I peed.
I got a piss now, dude.
I actually peed. Darn,
yeah, a little drops fell out.
Yeah, a little. drip.
Look at that color.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Wow, you can hear the foam. That's
I know,
wild.
Dude,
that means you're dehydrated, sir. You're going to need to drink some more water.
Yeah.
Oh, you medical type.
Right.
Looks like a, never mind.
I know Charles Lindy. It's also,
yeah, I really like the color on this. I'm excited.
Well, and just the smell, just throw your nose on that one.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah.
I had one of these yesterday, and it was amazing.
Oh, dude, HBCU is amazing.
Yeah. I'm just going to kill that. You're like, oh, don't mind if I do. Yeah.
So this one is
nose on that one is amazing. Yeah,
this guy's loaded up with Citra, Eldorado, Moteca, and Idaho 7.
Idaho 7 is one of my favorite hops now.
It's a good one.
I don't know why.
Idaho Gem is cool too.
That they do that with, I love.
Yeah. I don't know. To me, it's just a nice, clean hop profile.
I just want to know what happened to Idaho 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1.
They didn't quite cut the mustard.
Yeah, I guess not.
No. Oh, so many jokes I was going to say right now, dude. But we're going to lose all our Idaho weird listeners if I said anything right now. How many Idaho listeners do you have?
Idaho?
Three.
I mean, it's okay if
there's, not a lot. There's, what is it, Nampa? There's someone in Nampa that listens to us, and then there's somebody in
Nampa, like the auto parts store?
Coraline, something like that. It's like a weird
chlorine, thing. Idaho.
Coraline. Coraline,
yeah.
I don't know where that's at, but they listen to our show.
That's rad.
So we got a couple of people up in Idaho that listen to the show.
Man in Coraline.
Got a lot of people in Oregon, Josh, but
not in Eugene now. Yeah.
They're not going to be very happy with
Eugene's going to be like, we love breaking windows. It's like our thing.
Yeah, I know. Fuck you.
No, how dare you take that from
who do you think you are?
If you just avoid Eugene, the rest of Oregon is kick ass.
Yeah, so, dude.
I'm just saying.
Is there a levee there? Is there a levee in Eugene?
Yeah, I was going to say.
No, it actually just Eugene looks depressing.
The actor?
Oh, like, no, is there a levee, though? Because it'd be the Eugene levee.
Yeah.
Isn't that Jim's dad in American Pie?
Yeah. Is the levee dry?
Yes. Stupid. All right.
Can I drive my Chevy to it?
Coming back to HBCU.
That was a dumb joke.
Okay, back to HBCU.
HBCU Crowns and Hops, Can Art, dope. Love it. And
the nose on this,
the color
is fantastic.
Is perfect for a hazy.
Oh yeah, nice little pillowy look there and taste.
Wow,
yeah, that's a good beer, dude.
That mouthfeel,
yeah,
that's perfect. Yeah,
really wow,
I like these guys. I have to have them up here.
Yeah,
and they'd be awesome.
Tap takeover, Crowns and Hops.
What?
They'd probably do a phone interview or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it'd be cool. Yeah. I've seen a few, like, Tio get on there with, like, Zoom.
Yeah.
Chats
he does it a
like
lot.
That.
Yeah. He does a lot.
Oh, that'd be rad.
He was on with, no, that was somebody else anymore. I was thinking about the other, I don't want to say it. The other podcast that similar name.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Dude, that's what I was like.
I saw that, dude.
Yeah,
I didn't want to mention that, dude.
Beer Dad get all bad and start fighting and shit.
No, we're it's all love in the industry. But we were around first. We'll just throw that out there.
And you're going to be in a bearded gang. So, you know,
you are, dude.
That's a thing.
You're going to be a villain.
Bearded gang. These guys are giving me a hard time. I was hanging out with the bearded villain. Shout out to those guys. They're local here, Beaumont. Nice. One of your regulars.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
They are indeed.
So good people. They do a lot of good charity.
Nothing respect for those guys. Those guys are good peeps.
Yeah.
So not really villains. They're actually like bearded nice guys.
Yeah.
Bearded good
villains.
Good guys.
The play on words. They're bearded.
Would you
heroes.
Say that they're the heel of the beer? No.
Well, you know, they have those theories on like those comic books where villains are actually the heroes and heroes are the villains. You never know.
Yes.
Look at it from a different side, different perspective.
Yeah, maybe it's a backwards day, whatever.
Yeah. Inside out day. It's inside out day.
There you go. All right. So this is a damn good hazy.
This beer is fantastic. Yeah. When we first got in, the first beer I cracked open, I was like, oh man, this is just solid.
Yeah.
This is just solid.
Yeah. So.
That's good stuff. That's really good stuff.
Dude, the quality of their beer is just amazing to me, honestly.
Yeah.
Like there's care and love put into each one of these beers, honestly. So,
when you listen to Tio talk, and you know, you can tell the passion behind his voice and behind what he does, and like how much he loves beer. But I just picture him as like on the brewing side, that he's a perfectionist, and I could just see him back there just like dumping a whole entire thing. Like, nope, this is shit, and brew it again. You know what I mean? Until he gets it right. Like, because, like Jimmy said, nothing's been bad from them at all. They haven't like shoved anything down anyone's throats that, you know, oh, people drink it because it's got cool can art or whatever, like some of these breweries are doing. But everything that I've tasted from Crowns and Hops has been great. It didn't matter what style it is.
Yeah. Right. And there's no gimmicks. Like, no. You know, there's no like, no. Sorry, I'm not like hating, but like no like cartoon characters or any like relatable pop culture, you know, stuff on there. It's just real.
Well, they let the beer.
Well, shit, the very first one.
They let the beer stand out.
What was the first one that you had? It was just like the cursive writing. Like there was like nothing on the can but white cursive writing.
Yeah. The BPLB.
BPLB.
That one.
Yeah.
That I was like.
Amazing.
Oh, you know, there's nothing great. Like that does not stand out to you on the shelf. And the, you know what I mean? Like just, but the beer was ridiculous. Phenomenal. You know what I mean?
Phenomenal. Black people let the beer speak.
Black and brown people like
beer. Love beer, yeah.
And love beer too.
Yeah.
That was,
that's a great beer, dude.
Is that what it stands for?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
That's dope, dude.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I love it. Yeah. And just the simple cursive writing. Yeah. That's all it is.
Every one of their beers has been fantastic, dude. Really, my go-to beers as far as like even the stout.
I'm going to have to do something right now.
Well, oh, there he goes.
I knew this was going to happen because I said Josh cracked that last beer, and then I said, or is it?
Yeah.
Well, you already know if I'm around.
When
well,
Brandon's around, he always has a surprise.
Yeah,
there's well, always Brandon a surprise. Brandon and I kind of went in on surprises, so we actually got two surprises.
Yeah, boy.
Well,
oh, boy.
You know, he's like, hey, we love each other.
I don't know about this bromance. I don't know what's going on here.
We have two surprises. One, we woke up together.
Okay.
Well, now this one is, we're going to do this one first because we might need Brandon's to clean the palate.
Okay.
So speaking of collaborations and bromances or whatever, this is the collaboration I did with Alex.
Oh, nice.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
It is a Mexican hot chocolate stout.
Whoa, whoa.
But it ends up, it's more like a mole stout. So just think of just straight up mole. But
okay,
it's good. It's got a bit of a kick though. So we threw some cayenne in there.
Oh, interesting. But
I think you'll still enjoy it.
It was a fun thing to be a part of. The vanilla beans and the chocolate all came from Mexico, and you know, so the process was fun. Like literally, like slicing open the vanilla beans scraping them, and I mean, just it was cool. It was a brew that I had never done before, and of course having Josh there is great because he's, you know, an expert at this kind of stuff. I like how it came out, and I did notice you know, I'm a weirdo with stouts, so I like to drink I like to drink stouts cold, and I also like to drink them room temperature, and it has two totally different characteristics in that sense. The chili when it's cold, ooh, spicy. Just saw Jimmy, he's shot through the nose. But when it warms up, that draws out, and you get just beautiful chocolate notes and everything. I'll let you pour it.
The nose on this is actually really fucking good, dude.
I was going to say, I'd like to think of this as a very much indigenous beer. No, it's like straight up, like, seriously, like the chocolate was from Mexico. The vanilla beans are from Mexico. We did basically cayenne, cinnamon.
Was your water profile from Mexico?
Well,
Well, you fucked that up then.
No, I was going to say, could have done that. Hey, yeah. California we had used to be part of it, right?
True that. Touche. That's it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
See? Gabe's got the water profile for you now, dude.
Technically, you could just go down to the beach down there in San Diego and just get a bucket because it all flows right out. Yeah. Make sure you bring some nose plugs. Not very.
My dad told me one time he was in the Marines and they went to Tijuana and he lost his passport, so he had to swim across the river to get back into San Diego through all the fucking sewage.
Everybody watched him like, dude, we know you're white, dude. Come on,
just, but it reminds me of that Cheech movie, Born in the East LA.
Yeah.
Where he keeps getting deported. He's like, I'm American. Like, listen to me talk. And they're like, no, you're going back. Like, and he kept. He would try to sneak across. He like dressed as a bush at one point. Yeah. He tried to sneak across as a. Oh man, I love that. I miss those 80s movies. They need to bring back movies like that. They just don't make great movies anymore.
No.
Yeah. So what do you think of this beer, Jimmy?
I haven't tried it yet. I'm kind of letting it warm up just a little bit. I think it warms up a little bit.
You get that cayenne bite dissipates a bit.
Yeah, it's actually really good even with the cayenne bite.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
So. I end up using a lager yeast on this. Okay. So I thought it'd be kind of cool to get a little bit of that light body kind of essence along with all the chocolate notes.
Scared of Brandon over here. Okay. He's always got something up his sleeve. Yeah. And why do you have two?
Because
Surprise, bitches.
Some fries, bitches.
I'll show you beer dad. Surprise, I guess, bitches. I got two.
I guess so. Well, yeah. Pour yourself some of this stout, Brandon.
Oh, sweet.
Yes.
Or spicy.
It's an indigenous stout.
Yeah.
Indigenous?
I was going to say, Alex ended up doing like the logo art for it, and it's like straight up indigenous looking. It's
dope.
All yeah. Fucking cool shit.
Like Aztec-y. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Aztec-y. Aztec-y.
That's a word.
I don't know. I just got a mental picture of a guy in the whole fucking bloom, like playing on a computer.
Yeah, he's a little Aztec.
He's Aztec.
I was really impressed in how he fixed the labels on his beer. I guess I didn't know this, but if you use milk, you could take a piece of paper, milk, and it'll stick to the beer bottle, won't come off. I didn't know that.
Oh. Right. A lot of cinnamon on the, more you know. On the nose here.
I want you to go just dive in.
So it's a
chug it or what?
It's a mole. What, mole stout?
Is that what mole stout.
It's a mole stout.
Yeah, I would go as mole on this one. Mole, we were going for kind of like Abuelita, mole. Hot chocolate, but not quite hitting those notes. But mole, it's getting.
I like it.
Spades. So
I told you guys when we sampled it, when we were bottling it, that it reminded me of that Rogue Sriracha and, chocolate stout.
Dude, this is dope.
This is good.
It's got a lot of chili on the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool, huh? That's cool, huh?
Yeah. If you let it warm up, I'm
getting it halfway down my lungs right here, but it's good, dude. It's really good.
Yeah.
Speaking of chili and hot things, I'm actually kind of nervous. I opened my big dumb mouth the other day and I told someone that I eat the world's hottest gummy bear. And they bought it for me, so I have it just sitting
on my nightstand.
Just taunting you.
Is it like one of those like chips, like those challenge chips? So it's like one chip. It's
like a little
cute
little gummy bear, dude. And he's like, you know, whatever. He's like, oh,
he's got little fucking devil horns on him. Like,
he's just like, no big deal. I'm just the hottest gummy bear in the world.
You should eat that on the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to bring it. I was going to bring it today, but I'm actually doing. I'm going to be doing the hop culture. What do you call it? Saturday morning virtual beer festival later on. And I want to be able to taste those beers because there's a ton of fantastic beers. So, fuck that. I don't want to do that right now. But, it's 9 million Scoville units.
Ooh.
Yeah.
9 million.
I'm just going to, I don't know.
I don't want
to
say,
make sure to save it, set aside all your lactose beer.
Yeah, seriously.
It might help.
I know. Just chugging a bunch of like, I don't know.
That sounds like a
peanut butter milk stout.
That sounds like a very bad day. It really does.
It does. And I regret opening my big dumb mouth and saying that I would eat that. It's stupid, right?
I can tell you hops have a scraping kind of ability. Right. So hoppy beers help with spicy.
I don't think that's going to touch 9 million Scoville. Like, dude, I'm going to chew it up like this, like, and just like swallow it. I'm like, fuck that. I'm not going to keep that
one
around.
Time
dude,
I,
it's going to kill me.
I was getting ready to do like a chili beer with a friend of mine. And so we bought these like Guero chilies and took a sliver of it raw. And I was like, oh, it's actually pretty tasty. It's kind of like a paprika thing. Let me try roasting it. Took a sliver.
What the fuck? Oh, shit.
Only thing I had in the fridge was Sierra Nevada Pale. So I just downed like three of these things in a row.
Wow.
Like, just trying to kill the heat.
This beer is rad.
Yeah.
It's super cool. Really yeah. It's just, I'm just getting like the overpowering pepper. Chili thing. And that's the only thing that.
That's why I said if you let it warm, it subdues it quite a bit.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it actually, you switch from cayenne to chocolate.
Oh, cool.
As it warms up.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So shout out to our good friend Alex, Coastal Hueste Brewing. He's a cool cat.
Oh, yeah.
Great story about how him and I met. He was actually on episode 2. Long time ago. Right. So he's been around since the beginning. We met on Instagram because he was following us. And let's have a beer share. And so he comes over to the house and for a beer share. And come to find out, he literally lived right around the corner from me. Small world. Yeah. You know? That's pretty cool. And he's a cool dude. He's got a cool family. His sister is probably one of the most amazing bakers. Like, she makes every single dessert for like all our family's parties, cakes, cheesecakes.
I've had some of the cookies. Dude, they're fantastic.
Yeah, she was here for that.
Dulce Vida.
Shop and Sip.
Yeah, shout out to them. She's a great baker. So cool people. I'm just blessed that I was able to meet them through the beer community. So
yeah, and Alex does a pretty bitchin' hazy himself.
Yeah.
So
he actually started getting into home brewing while he was listening to us. He's like, you know, like he always wanted to.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of pushed him over the edge to get into it. And he's doing a good job. Yeah. He's doing really good.
It was kind of fun doing the collaboration with this beer here because he was like, yeah, I don't know why stout's kind of intimidating. He's like, don't be intimidated, man. Let's just do
shit,
it.
If anything, pilsners are fucking intimidating. Yeah. Stouts, you can cover that shit up. If you mess up, you can cover it up. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, this is definitely Hershey's like syrup in it and call it a day.
Yeah. I mean, this is definitely like a kitchen sink. Stout. Initially, we thought we were screwing up because I was like running the numbers and we're like, man, our gravity readings are like super low. What the hell? And then I realized, oh, temperature. I fucked up. So I adjusted for temperature and then it's like, oh, crap, they're way up there.
That's a good beer.
So this beer is like, I think it finished out like 8.2, 8.3.
Not bad.
So, yeah. So
very drinkable.
Good.
Yeah. And I end up using the Dunkel yeast.
I actually feel like this would be a good like either marinade for chicken too as well.
Oh yeah,
that's or, what I say, or the mole, chili.
Yeah, you can really get that going.
Good.
So yeah, we end up taking some of the vanilla beans and soaking them with wood chips and Johnny Walker. So we got a little bit of a barrel character, kind of help kind of mellow things out a bit.
That's really good.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Well, our good friend Brandon. He had a surprise too.
Yeah.
And he brought out,
of course,
something I've never had before. So, never had Culver Beer Company.
A lot of people have not. Oh, so
I've heard it.
That's funny. Yeah, that's dope because we just went and checked them out the other day. And they're in Carlsbad. Mm-hmm. And so we checked them out. And one of the owners there, Ben, super, super cool guy. He just poured us a bunch of different, you know, beers that they have there.
So
I hear that crack-a-lacket right there.
I got a small world moment here.
With him too?
Not with him specifically, but the guy who does the art.
Oh,
his name
crazy.
Is Richard Green.
So this is crazy.
And I met him. He was over at DBC the other day. He stopped in with his wife
to grab a
pint.
He's in here all the time, isn't he? Oh. This guy?
Mm-hmm.
The artist? No.
No. No. I don't know about the artist.
Yeah, the artist. He's like he's a retired guy, older dude. Okay. Name is Richard Green, buddy. He was over at Desert Beer Company the other day. He just popped in to go grab like a couple beers because he was vacationing out in the desert. And he brought in some artwork and like a sticker and stuff for Devin to put on his fridge and all that. He's like, oh, yeah, I work with Culver Brewing. And I was like, oh, shit.
Awesome.
So you mentioned that. I was like, oh, shit.
Dude, that's crazy. Yeah. So, we hung out there. We got some samples and tried a bunch of the different beers. This is their – what's the name of this one?
Streetwalker.
Okay, Streetwalker is their they're basically like their flagship IPA. They do a lot of IPAs, do some sours. They have some really cool, like old school styles. God, what did I have there? That was like, it's kind of like a rare style, but I'll think of it. But talking to Ben, he was telling us that this is the very first beer they've ever canned, and they've been a brewer for 4 years. So we literally are drinking like the very first canned beers that they've ever done. So it's pretty awesome.
Dope.
Culver beer.
Culver beer.
Super dope.
Carlsbad,
yeah.
I love Carlsbad.
Look how clean this place is. Dude, look how fucking beautiful this beer is. It is so clean.
I love it.
That's a trip that you pulled out. And I was just like, I literally just met one of the guys the other day.
they also have a, I was going to say they have a deli actually in the building as well. And it's the sandwiches they make are freaking nuts. Like,
nice.
I was going to ask about the ball logo on the can.
What's that?
I'm going to ask about the ball.
like the jar.
Jars, like mason jars. They have a ball logo on the side of the can. Dude, I wonder if they serve their beers in mason jars maybe.
No, I don't know. The beers that we had were just in like proper glassware.
They
pour it in their hands.
Maybe Ball's making cans now. I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know.
It's interesting.
That's a good
deal. Yeah, I actually did not notice that.
I saw it and I was like, that's kind of weird. Why is that on there?
Yeah.
It's a collab. Maybe Ball came in and brewed some beer. Who knows?
So this beer, I actually remember what hops are in this one now. It's Simcoe and Centennial, I think.
Centennial?
Yeah.
Okay.
They very old school,
yeah.
You know, pine forward.
Yeah.
Dank ass fucking West Coast
good stuff. What do you think, Gabe? Have you ever had Culver?
I've had Culver before. And I've had this beer before.
It's just a good classic West Coast IPA.
Yeah.
Right.
It's just simple. It's clean. It works. It's drinkable.
Yeah, you just kick back and sip, and
I got no complaints.
Their lager is amazing too. I brought back a crowler of it, nice. And I was trying to shotgun it, but everybody wanted to try some, so I was like, whatever, okay,
perfect,
fine, I'll share.
Fine,
good stuff.
It's dingy.
Yeah, so it's a little bit of a palate cleanser, I guess.
I like it.
It's very clean. I don't know how the hell they get it, you know. Beer so clean. It's fantastic.
Well, it was a nice surprise from both of you guys.
Yeah, appreciate one more.
It. I see it. We're going to have some Urban Anomaly from Crowns and Hops. We've had it before. Okay. Gabe hasn't had it. So
that's why I brought it out.
I'm stoked for him.
Yeah. I really want you to try
it. Let's crack it.
Hell yeah.
Finish on a good note here.
Mm-hmm. Here we go.
Actually, I would say so far we've having some banger beers on this episode.
Oh, seriously?
Right? Yes.
I mean, I'd say the collab we did with Monstero is definitely a good start out of the gate. And then, you know, just kind of kept going from there.
So the cool thing is, and I don't know if we've done this yet, because usually we kind of mix it up, and a lot of beers that get sent to us, we'll have on the show feature. We, you know, our friends in Texas and stuff like that. But I want to say this is the first episode where, not counting the homebrew, because we always like to feature homebrew, but every beer we've had, you carry here at the Craft Lounge.
Yep.
That's pretty dope. So for those
Culver City, Culver City, we're still working on that one. Culver,
yeah. So for those that are listening to the show,
that's how it's
if you want to try these beers, come see Jimmy at the Craft Lounge. And we've had one, two. Well, Culver's not yet.
Not yet.
So one, yet. Two, three, four, five, six. Can you guys make it? You should put up on the site when we release the show a Beer Dad and Brew Podcast 6-pack special.
That'd be dope.
Of the beers that we had, and people could sample and listen to the show.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Actually, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
One of each one that we had, so you can actually.
That's why you're the Beer Dad, dude. That's why you're the Beer Dad.
Sometimes I do great these ideas. Things. Yeah, it's usually towards the end of the show after the drinks. It takes that little bit.
You get elevated.
Get those juices flowing. You know,
become an elevated state.
Right. So, man. That beer was good, that last one. I'm still sitting on it right now. Right? And also, the back of my throat, I still have chili from the Cayenne.
Mine's sitting right here in my chest.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah, awesome. We had bottled all those beers with the plan to sit on them probably for another like 3-4 months.
Yeah.
And then I took
two of them.
Chili kinda dissipate.
I'll probably drink one in about a month or so, and then the other one I'm going to sit on for a really long time.
Yeah.
See how that tastes.
Yeah, I ended up grabbing about two or three of the bombers, so I'm just going to cellar those for a while. Probably bring them out maybe after a year or something.
Stout season episode.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, our stout season episode was freaking nuts, dude.
Did you listen to that one, Gabe?
No, I haven't listened to that one.
Oh, man. God.
Yeah.
It got to the point where
we had a
listener send me a message because that was like 2.5 hours. And he sent me a message and he's like, so, because he has like about a little over an hour commute to work. So, first, and he's like, yeah, everything was awesome. Guys were great, drinking beer, telling jokes. And he said, my commute home, I damn near crashed my car because you guys were out of control. Like he was loud. He's like, I laughed so hard, I was jerking my wheel and this and that. I'm like, yeah, because that's when we were like 14%, 15%, like big stouts. Yeah.
And well, like 11
it got us.
There was like 11.
Yeah.
It was a lot. There's a lot of beer.
Something stupid, yeah. But and they were all bombers and.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
So, what do you think of Urban Anomaly, Gabe? Now that you've had it,
this one's amazing.
Yeah,
it's just super solid. Yeah,
it's Crowns
just
like and hops,
hit
man.
All the right marks.
Yeah,
like we said earlier, like American Stout. Oh, I got that here. Yeah. You know, like
it's such a good beer, man. First time I had it, I was like, it just blew my mind. I was like, dude,
yeah,
this is a refreshing stout.
Yeah, it is
very, very refreshing.
You get the nice little chocolate note there. You get nice, toffee, like a roasty toffee robustness.
Yeah.
You get just a little bit of that hop, you know, kind of citrus hop on the back end.
Yeah. I mean, it's super approachable at 6% too.
Yeah.
6%.
Yeah.
And the Urban Night is 8%, right?
I think that's 10.
Is it 10 for
I
Urban
think
Night?
So,
yeah. It was like the imperial version of this.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not being pretty good too.
Oh, dude, it's really good.
Well, guess what? I'm just
kidding. Surprise, bitches.
I've been hiding it.
You're done with your surprises.
Oh, is he, though?
Cut off.
Oh, is he, though?
I am surprised.
Justin cut me off.
Brandon, you're done.
Well, yeah, after my last surprise on the last episode was 15% quintuple.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
We still have
one. By the way, we still have one.
We still have one left.
But you have to drive.
Yeah. Gabe's got to drive home.
It's pure. Yeah. No. It's a pure project. It's the fifth anniversary of Shadow of the Moon. Yeah. We have a couple. Not Shout at the Moon. Shadow of the Moon.
Shout at the Moon.
Yeah, instead of Bark at the Moon, it's Shout at the
Shout
Moon.
Shout at the Moon.
Bark at the Moon.
You're stupid.
Shout at the Moon.
Stupid Moon.
Yeah. Big glowing ball.
I hate
bullshit.
You, Moon.
Yeah. Well, if you drink enough of those, you'll be screaming at the Moon.
I'm going to shout at the Moon.
Hey, crazy person. Moon. Yeah.
Fuck you, Moon.
Oh, man.
Why are you so bright?
Why are you so bright? You're stupid. I hate you.
Big glowing
Bring
ball
the sun back,
bullshit.
Bitch. Yeah.
What a show. Sun. What a show. Anyways, Gabe, again, I want to thank you for joining us here on the Beer Dad and Brew podcast, joining us all the way up here at the Craft Lounge. First time for a visit for you. I'm glad you're able to make it. Jimmy, always thanks for having us.
Always.
We'll get Kat on throwing up something on the website so you guys can buy like a mixed six pack and enjoy what we enjoyed here on the show. So definitely let us know what you think. See if you line up with our opinions. But Monstera Brewing, check them out. MonsteraBrewing.com for those homebrewers and breweries out there that are looking to make some super authentic beers by using water profiles based upon wherever you want, including Buffalo, New York, apparently. They'll do it for you.
Buffalo Wings, Buffalo,
no,
New York.
No, Buffalo Wing and Ranch Dip beers. We've already established that's a bad idea. So no offense to Martin House.
It can't be good. It can't. No. It can't, terrible. Dude. I'm sorry.
I think
I'll make him a noodle beer.
By
dude.
The way,
Hell yeah. Noodle and a tortilla beer, dude. I'm going to mix them together, dude. There you go.
That's like a Michelin.
Sounds like a bad time.
Dude, that's what I'm saying, dude.
By the way, the Beer Dad and Brew podcast, we hinted at it before. We are going on the road in April to visit some friends out in Texas. So stay tuned to that. We will be visiting B52 Brewing, Urban South, and Baba Brew House, and maybe sneak in a few others while we have time. So stay tuned for some of those episodes that we'll be recording while we're out there. And we're all really excited about that. Unfortunately, Jimmy can't join us.
I can't.
But he'll be there in spirit. We might call him. We might have him on one of the shows.
We should definitely have you on.
That'd be cool. For sure. We'll just have to make sure you have time to do that.
Huh? I'll make it happen.
There you go. So stay tuned for our April travels to the wonderful state of Tejas.
Drunk as fuck.
Hopefully the snow's gone by the time we get there.
I was going to say, I'm hoping it's a little
Texas won't be ready.
Yeah. Texas ain't ready for
Texas
it.
Texas ain't ready for us.
They're not ready for the Beer Dad and Brew podcast. No, they're not. So,
well, we can bring the fire. How about
that's right. We're bringing the fire.
Right.
Bringing
the fire. Dude, they need fire right now.
So with that being said, listen, we know our good friend here at the end of the show's got some great advice. So if you can drink this, you can drink some ranch dressing.
R.I.P., baby.
They also practice by drinking the urine of a ram.
The what?
They drink ram's piss.
Because of the pH balance?
No, because if you can drink ram's piss, fuck, you can drink almost anything.
She said fuck.
What is the malted liquor? What gets you drunk or quicker? What comes in bottles or in cans?
Beer.
Can't get enough of it.
Beer.
How we really love it.
Beer.
Makes me think I'm a man.
Beer.
I could kiss and hug it,
beer.
But I'd rather chug it.
Beer.
Got my belly out to here.
Beer.
I could not refuse
beer.
I could really use a beer.
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 Beer. Beer. Beer. Beer. Beer. Beer.
I can't remember how much I have had. I drank a 12-pack with my dad.